You know the difference between an easy decision and an important decision, don't you? There are easy decisions that we make all the time. All the time. Carol and I will go to the restaurant, and very seldom do we order the same thing. Very seldom. But somewhere in the course of the meal, she will say, "You want to taste some of this?" Or I'll ask her if she wants to taste some of mine. And, sure. What she ordered, I did not order, but it's an easy decision for me to take a taste because that's not going to have much impact on my meal. However, when the waitress comes to me and says, "What would you like?" That's a more important decision because it's going to have a greater impact on me. I'm going to have to eat it. You think Carol would pay for my meal and not let me eat it? No. She'll make me eat it, like it or not. So the impact of one on our lives is greater than the other. And I've talked to a lot of people, been around this summer talking to a lot of people, and I think, if you listen to the radio too, it comes out to me, as I interpret it, that Christians today take a lax view of their relationship with Jesus Christ. It seems to me as though they consider it an easy decision. Oh, yeah, yeah. But being a disciple, from my point of view, being a disciple of Jesus Christ or a follower is not just going to church. It's not just owning a Bible. Being a follower or a disciple of Jesus Christ is not necessarily simply being a good person, although it is involved in it. It's not just giving money. It's not just attending work days at the church. Being a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ is not an easy decision to make, because it's going to have a great impact on the rest of your life when you make that decision. So it's not just a little bit of a trial. It is a lifestyle change. This is how Jesus put it. If you have your Bibles, they're in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. This is how Jesus put it. It's always good to go back to what Jesus said. If there's any argument or discussion, I remember one time when I was counseling a couple, and I mean this couple, when they fought, I learned things. They had it down to a science. She would say something, he would say, refute that, and go on and on and on. And I bet you they were at it for a good 20 minutes. And then they started back at step one again, and we're going to go all the way. And I said, wait a minute, you've already said all of this. I've heard your side. I said, let's see what God's side is. It's always good to go back when there's a difference of opinion to see what the Master says. And here's what the Master says about this easy or difficult decisions. Verse 23 of Luke chapter 9, "Then he said to them all," there was no exceptions here. No exceptions. "He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Jesus, I think, is making it very clear to anybody that has a notion that I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, I'm going to be a believer, I'm going to be a disciple, Jesus is making it very clear it's not an easy decision. It is, in fact, a weighted decision, one that's thought about. I have difficulty sometimes seeing great groups of crowds of people, and they say, "If you want to accept Jesus as your Savior, come on down here." And so they crowd down to the front. On the spur of a moment, making an emotional decision, that is not going to impact your life necessarily. It is a weighted decision. As a matter of fact, there, that word for desire, when he said that if anyone desires to come after me, the Greek word there means something that is a stubborn resolution. I have made up my mind and nothing's going to change it. It is like marriage, I think. I didn't share this with Carol yesterday, but I'm sure she'll hear it now. That I am stubbornly resolved not to look for another mate. I am stubbornly resolved not to look for another mate. No matter what temptation, no matter what pressure, no matter what happens, I'm not going to change my mind. She's stuck with me. And I'm not changing my mind for anybody, anywhere. Jesus said, if anybody desires, has this same resolve to come after me, there's some things, there's a price that's going to have to be paid. It's not easy. We know that salvation is free. We're not talking about free versus pricey, but there is a price that has to be paid. So, you know, I was going to do this for the kids today. I've got the ads here. Now, this looks like a pretty good deal to me. Of course, this is an old ad. I don't remember when it was from, but you can get 4 2-liters of pop soda for $3. Now, that's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Now, if it was 3 bottles for $4, my wife would say, I'm not buying that. She wouldn't be willing to pay that price. And so she wouldn't do it. She would be stubbornly resolved that I'm not going to spend that money on that soda. We got some, this one, Church's Chicken. Now, I don't think I've ever had Church's Chicken. But here you can get 12 pieces, legs and thighs, for $8 plus tax. I don't think I'd be willing to eat it, even if it was free. Maybe, but I don't know. But see, we look at these things and they try to entice us to pay the price to get this. And then we look at it and we say, no, I don't want to buy it. I don't want to spend that money for it. We go out to look for a house, which is a lot more than a fast food meal. We look at a house that we're going to spend $1,500 a month on. And we say, it's going to be the house I want it to be, or I'm not paying for it. I'm not going to buy it. Or a car, or those kinds of things. We understand when it comes to these big decisions that there's a price that has to be paid, and we decide for ourselves, am I willing to pay the price or not? And it's simple. I mean, we do it all the time. All the time. I don't want to, no, don't buy it here. I know where we can get it cheaper. You see, don't spend your money on that. We know that Jesus is saying, if you desire to come after me, there's a price. And here's the price. If you have if you want to underline this, go ahead and do this in your Bible. He said, here's the price. If you have a desire, if you have a resolute willingness to come after me, you're going to have to deny yourself, you're going to have to take up your cross, and you're going to have to follow me. Those three things. You're going to have to deny yourself. And this is, I was talking with an individual about being disowned by a family member. Family member saying, you are nothing to me anymore. That's what Jesus is talking about with myself. Disowning myself. Abstaining from satisfying or gratifying myself. We need to deny ourselves. We need to bear our cross. And I think that this is a really indicates a life of dedication. Like my friend Dick Eldred has said a lot of times, if you can picture Jesus on the cross, you can only look forward when you're nailed to the cross. You can't look back. It's a life of dedication. It may be a life of suffering. It may be, should be a life of surrender to Jesus Christ. But it is dedication to Him, the Lord, Messiah, bearing our cross. And the third one is to follow Jesus. It is an exclusive relationship, you and Him, master and disciple, teacher, student. It is an exclusive relationship when we follow Jesus Christ. That's the price it's going to take. You have a strong urge, a desire to follow Jesus Christ, you're going to have to pay this price. You're going to have to disown your own self, be dedicated to Him for life, regardless of the way things turn out, and live in an exclusive relationship with Him. And I know that there were people that I've talked with years ago who would come to me and say, I've got a problem, I need Jesus. That's not the way it works. Because as soon as your problem's solved, do you need Jesus then? Certainly problems will bring people to Jesus, but that may not be the way to make this serious decision. When we look at that denial of self, bearing a cross, and following Jesus, when I looked at that, I thought, you know, what this really represents, actually, what this represents is repentance. You believe and repent. When we turn from the world's view to God's view about disowning ourselves, about dedicating our lives to Jesus and to the mission, it's an important decision. But I think it's based on a pretty simple fact. Very simple. Here's the fact in verse 24. Look at this. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Do you desire to satisfy your flesh, to save your life, to gratify yourself? Whoever desires to save his life is going to lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. That's the simple fact that it's based on. That's it. You're either going to lose your life or you're going to save it, one or the other. You want to do it yourself? You're not good at it. Let Jesus do it. He's the expert. How can it be? How can it be that we can save it and lose it, or lose it and save it? How can that be? Well, I'm looking upon this, you know, and it's like the children of Israel standing by the Red Sea and somebody saying, how can it be we're going to walk across on dry land? God can do it. That's why. How can it be that a dead man would be raised to immortal, eternal life? How can that be? Well, God did it. That's how it can be. And how it can be that we can save our life and then lose it, or lose our life now and then save it, really comes down to the fact that the foolishness of this world doesn't understand the wisdom of God. This is the wisdom that God gives us, and the world calls this foolishness. There was a saying that went around for quite a while, some years back. It was, you need to endure the short-term pain to reap the long-term gain. As opposed to short-term gain and long-term pain. See, Jesus is saying, what I'm asking you to do is really kind of temporary in the overall scheme of things. If you could take your 100 years of life now and lay it on that line of eternity, you wouldn't even see it. It's over just like that. In verse 25, Jesus said, what profit? He's asking this kind of a rhetorical question. But he says, what profit is there? What benefit is it to a man if he gains everything in the whole world and himself is destroyed or lost? So, what is the benefit of it? What is the benefit if you get everything that there is to have? Everything your old heart's desire, everything your flesh wants. What's the benefit of getting that if you're destroyed? What's the benefit? These facts point to the fact that it is a decision that's based on logic. I mean, when you think about it, Jesus is saying, if you gain everything and lose your soul, what good is that? But it still comes down to the question, are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pay the price? In verse 26, for whoever, he says, is ashamed of me, and my words of him, the Son of Man, will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and his own Father's and of the holy angels. Ashamed. Ashamed. Jesus is in your life. Are you ashamed of that? And as I'm preparing this, asking the Lord, help me understand this being ashamed of business. Well, you know, there are some things in my life, in my past, that I don't really want people to know about because I'm ashamed of them. And if those facts were known, you know, I would be mightily ashamed. I'm not proud of them. All of us have things in our life that we're not proud of and we don't want people to know about. Everybody that knows about it, that's enough. Nobody else needs to know. Because we're ashamed of it. And when people find out that fact about me, I feel shame. Jesus said, I don't want you to feel that way about me when people find out I'm in your life. I don't want you to feel shame. He said, if you do, if you are ashamed when people find out I'm in your life, guess what? I'm not going to be proud of you either when I come back. He's going to treat us just like we treat him. Jesus said, if you feel that way about me, I'm going to feel that way about you. It's up to us. You see, if we're not willing to pay the price, but if we are willing, I think it's fairly safe to say that Jesus will be unashamed of us. The decision to follow Jesus is one of those very serious, important decisions. It shouldn't be made just on moment's notice. I remember one fella, he was a troublemaker in the neighborhood. This is back in Michigan. He was not only for the neighbors, but for his wife and kids. He was just a troublemaker. One time I said to him, do you ever think of having Jesus in your life? Oh, I do. This Baptist guy came over and he wouldn't leave till I knelt down and prayed this prayer with him. And so I did to get rid of him. He said, Jesus is in your heart and so he must be. I got him, he said. Well, that decision was based on necessity to get the guy out of the house. And those easy decisions don't last. The decision to follow Jesus is an important one. And we don't set the standard about how this is going to work out. How we don't decide what following Jesus means. We don't decide that. He does. And there is a price to pay. Paying that price, if you can be determined, stubbornly resolved to pay that price, to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Jesus, if you can pay that price, it's going to set you apart from the world. You are going to be different than your neighbors. Literally, it's going to make you a saint because you are set apart. That's what the word saint means. If you are willing to pay the price, it will make Jesus unashamed of you or proud of you. Now, I never had a big brother. But I know that my little brothers thought it was great when I was proud of them. Which didn't happen often. But I knew they were. I'm looking forward to the time when Jesus says he's proud of me. But he's not going to say that if I'm not willing to pay the price. Because I don't make up the rules. He does. Paying the price of disowning yourself. Paying the price of living in dedication and surrender. Paying the price of walking in an exclusive relationship with Jesus Christ will have, I know it will have the most profound effect upon your life. And it will have a profound effect on people around you. You know, they might not like you anymore. They might not appreciate the spiritual nature that you've taken on. They might not appreciate your peace and your joyfulness. They might not appreciate what God is doing in your life. They might not appreciate hearing about your Savior, your Lord. but Jesus will be proud of you. We're going to keep on this thing for a few weeks. We're going to keep on it because there's a lot of things that Jesus has to say about the disciples' character. So we're going to continue to do that. But right now, what we're going to do is turn to our closing song. Carol's going to come and lead us in that. Number 90. Oh, I want to know you more.
Number 90, oh, I want to know you more. If you'd like to stand, please do.
Father, it is our desire to be stubbornly resolved to follow Jesus. Father, we have not completely paid the price. And we confess that to you now. But we trust, Father, that you would cleanse us from that unrighteousness in the blood of your Son. And that you would help us, direct us, to be more resolved in our willingness to follow, to pay that price, to look forward to the time when Jesus says, "Well done." Father, our ministries, our work, all things depend upon our willingness to pay that price. So now we ask that you would make it possible for us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.